Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Yeah, we started a new conversation. Second Corinthians chapter number 9. Second Corinthians chapter number 9. Second Corinthians chapter number 9. We start the reading from verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll start the reading from verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Let me read this from a simpler translation so that. Let me read from NIV. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now we understand the context in which Paul, right, is speaking. Are you with me now? The context is the context of giving. Amen. And he alluded to the fact that when we give to God, it is not a waste. Are you following what I'm saying here? And the reason why I need to stress that is that we must not overstretch our ability to work. We must strive to be in the middle, to be balanced. We must not overstretch our ability to make money by being diligent. Diligence is not all there is to prosperity. There is the blessings of God that makes rich. Amen. And one of the dimensions of that blessing is through giving. So he spoke about the law of sowing and what? And reaping. It does happen. All right, to say God doesn't reward giving is to say God is unjust. And he himself said he's not unjust to forget our labors of love. Giving is labor. Are you with me now? All right, because as we teach many subjects that we teach that make room for advancement, if we don't teach the subject of giving, two things will happen. Number one, the work of God will suffer. Number two, you'll be consumed with greed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because God needs men. And the method of God is men. So if we don't teach this, you will have results without purpose. Is somebody following me now? All right, so we continue that scripture. Says whosoever sows sparingly will also reap how? Sparingly. And whosoever sows generously will reap how? Generously. So what does it mean to give generously? Alright? It means to give with cheerfulness. To give with excitement. To be excited about it. It means to be gracious. To have a bowel that understand what it means to give. All right? Have you seen people that give something to you and the way they give it, you just say, don't come again. All right. Some people throw money at beggars. Take, don't kill me. That's not generous giving. That's not generous giving. Are you seeing that now? To be generous means to go beyond yourself. To go extra mile. To go extra mile. To communicate your affection. Somebody say generosity. Come on, say it again. Say it again, generosity. Have you seen someone who is generous before? Generosity is not just someone who is generous is not just someone who gives. It's someone who gives graciously. The world doesn't really lack givers. The world lacks generous givers. Those who understand, they are excited. You see, the giving, all right, that God rewards is generous giving, not just giving. So don't be under pressure. God rewards what? Generous giving, not just giving. Some people give and they complain through it. They're stressing us. Now, when you understand generous giving, you know that as God lifts you, you also raise your givings. So yes. Some people have been giving the same offering since when they were on campus. Now God has, you've left campus. Things have changed to some level, to some extent. Right? But they have not learned to grow in their giving. That's not generosity. A generous person looks for opportunity to give. A generous person seizes every moment to give. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So, whoever sows sparingly will also reap out sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap out. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? So, it means giving should not just be an activity of impulse. Though, you should be able to make the decision quick, but you must also decide in your heart. So, for instance, before coming to church this morning, how many of you already proposed in your heart, this is what I'm going to give for my offering? It must be a decision you have made. Okay? Maybe a project is going on. You decide. And there are factors to put together to make that decision. You look at your income. Amen? Then you look at your budget. Okay? But sometimes there are divine interruptions. And God says that, okay, you are budgeted for that. Give me. Or give me out of it. He's not trying to make you stranded. He wants to raise you, right, beyond what you could have afforded. Now, listen. Let me give an illustration. Are you aware there is something called the spirit realm? Talk to me. Are you aware that there are forces that are unseen? There are forces that are not seen, can't be touched, but they are real. Amen? They are real both in the divine and in the demonic. For instance, there is the force of favor. This one, you can't work for it. It is God, all right, pulling things in your direction for you. And sometimes they are triggered. And when they are triggered, alright, there's a release in the spirit realm for some things to work for you. Obedience to God triggers favor. Are you seeing that now?
Yes.
I mean, if I look at you now and I say, heavens, I say, get up, heavens. And I say, what? Before this month ends, I'm going to give you 1 million naira.
Yes, sir.
You see that now? What did you do to earn that? Whatever it was that compelled that favor, it is something beyond you. It is something that has gone ahead of you to work on my heart for you. That $1 million might be somebody else's annual salary. Do you understand what I'm saying? True obedience, forces of favor are channeled in our direction. Favor is real. Help in the spirit realm is real. David didn't kill Goliath alone. He was helped. Samson could not have killed 1,000 people. With the jawbone, he was helped. What were the rest doing? Even if it's one to carry plank and plank his head. How will I be waiting for you to be killing people and I'm waiting my turn? What's that? Something kept them from thinking. That's a divine force. You see, what I'm trying to say is that while we give, we understand the place of diligence and competence. But while we are also competent, we know that there is a force beyond our competence. So we can strike the balance. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Good. God rewards giving. He rewards sacrifice. He rewards it. See, a generous giver will always look for new opportunities and new ways to give. Okay? For this person, a generous giver is giving because he or she is in love. Yes. That's the motivation. You see, giving to receive is a wrong motivation. But there is receiving to giving. You know, sometimes I've seen cases where people give to me and tax me almost immediately. And I'm like, take your money. I didn't ask. Okay? When you give to God, understand that number one, God wants to deal with greed in your heart. He wants to bring you to a point of selflessness. Yes. He wants to bring you to the point of selflessness. And number two, he wants to bring you to the point of absolute trust. Absolute trust. Now, speaking about absolute trust, let me show you a scripture. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 from verse 25. Matthew 6 from verse 25. Now, Jesus speaking here. Jesus speaking says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Do you know that this scripture is quite difficult? Now, I'm going to tell you experientially, it's difficult. Not to take thought for it, because the normal human mind wants a predictable future. I mean, in economics, elementary economics, talk about some of the purpose of money, precautionary purposes, am I correct? Is it promissory purposes and all that? Basic economics, yes, and all that. All right? So you want to have things precautionarily. What if? What if? You see. But the Bible is saying, take no thought for tomorrow. That sounds like what doesn't make sense. Like some group of funny people are no longer planning their lives. What God is saying is that you can't plan it like Him. You actually can't. See, the reason why some people look like they are not givers is because they are scared. And I know what it means to be afraid. I know what it means to be afraid. Like, if I give this now, what if? Let me tell you something. And I'm only saying this because I'm teaching. You see, every now and then, I always have plan. Always have plan. Plan for this, plan for that. But sometimes you discover that it looks like God's way of leading your own life. It doesn't allow those plans come to pass. Is there anyone who has felt that before? It looks like He always shows up somewhere in between to interrupt it. When you see that kind of sign, what that tells you is that you are planning below God's budget for you. and it's telling you, hands up the plan. It looks like you are wasting away, but you are not wasting away. I'm telling you. Now, when you come to that point, you are not certain where what you want to get will now come from. At that point where you are the end of your rope with less of you, there is more of him. That's the point where he can now do what he wants to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot be a generous giver if you are taking too much thought for your life. You cannot. Because you'll be scared. I've gone for meetings before that God will tell me, your transport, put it in the offering basket. And I'm like, God, that's what he's saying. And some of you have gotten to the point probably when you begin to see certain money coming, you just set your heart and say, God, don't even come close. Don't try it. Don't let's go there. He's looking at you. You say, I know what you are looking at. Don't even look in that direction. Amen. Now, let's continue from that scripture. Matthew chapter number 6. All right. Look at it. It said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is life not more than meat and the body more than raiment? It said, behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? He's simply saying, let God take care of you too. And the principle is simple. God wants to take care of his children. He's a very busy father. He's a generous father. But you see, you cannot take care of God's business and God will not take care of yours. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot. That there's an advancement in the kingdom to your account. It's a serious matter. Those who make missions possible are less than 5% of every church. Just very few individuals that have come to make up their mind that, no, not while I'm here. Have you seen people in church that they always look for the next thing to do? Always paying attention. That is generosity. They have other things to do with their money. They are not fools. Unfortunately, many churches take these people for fools. But they are not fools. They are not fools. They have things to do. But God has just won this heart over. You see, I used to have a group while I was serving in Redeem. Called the Transformers. Our duty is just to observe what is not right in church. And we'll post it. You know. And then everybody see what they can do. We buy it, then drop it in church as anonymous. It's also good to, we can be known. That doesn't change anything. Is that okay? Good. So life is more than clothes. The body is more than clothes. Life is more than food. All right? So he said, let God take care of you. Say, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? All right? So it means worry will not add anything. In fact, if there's anything I've known giving to do, is that it kills you to worrying. Have you given so they are like, I can't shall die. And you discover that you didn't die. Then you go again. See, practice giving. It can be practiced. You can become better at it. Yes. Sometimes you give, you are just concerned. Hey, God. Practice it. Okay? You can become better at generosity. You can. Practice it. It's a good thing to practice. I've noticed that giving kills worry. It does. Because giving brings you to that point of absolute trust. Absolute trust. Having done this now, God, I trust you that I'll be fine, that I'll be well. absolute trust. You know, I have seen God show up. And until you trust him to a certain level, you will not know the way he shows up at a certain level. Because you are too busy guarding, always on guard. Ah, this 20K. Ah, this 20K. You see, God must be able to reach to your inner chambers. I'm showing you Christianity. Because sometimes the mistake people make is that they teach giving emotionally. You know, the pastor is provoked, is angry. I want to do this, you will not give. No, none of my welfare is tied to what I'm teaching you. So I'm very free. I'm not angry with anybody, okay? I'm not angry. In fact, at this point, I don't know who is giving what. That's the truth. So I just teach. Okay? So, because we should not get to the point where somebody say, is it because I did not give the 1 month, the sacrifice we are giving? So it's not me that Papa has crafted this. It's not you. It's not you. And you definitely, you are not the only one who is not giving. So, yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you still struggle with giving, you have not been practicing it well. Anything you struggle with, there is no practice. So to remove the struggle, practice. Write it in capital letter. I will begin to practice giving. I give, then I give some more. Is that okay now? Yes. Give. You give to God, you give to people, you give to your parents, you give to your friends. Like I said, many believers have ready-made statements for anyone that asks them for anything. Hey, just yesterday, I just invested this money. Every time. You see, when you are not generous in your circle of influence, you lack what is called social capital. The day of your trouble, you'll be alone. Sometimes, those friends that you have, just give. Somebody's getting married. Okay, what is your contribution? Apart from posting the picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? What, apart from the picture you have, thank God for the picture you have posted. So what are you going to contribute to it? What's your plan? Do you have a plan? And somebody say, if I have plan now, that's how I'm going to be giving towards everybody who is getting my, hey, what will be left? Hold on. Don't be angry. Calm down. The Bible said you give according to what you have proposed where? In your heart. At your level, you can do something. That's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? At your level. And once you see that your emotions have gone bad around giving, hold on. Because you're about to give what God won't accept. So hold on. Now, there is a right way to hold on, and there's a wrong way to hold on. The wrong way to hold on is to say, since I'm holding on now, and the way I'm feeling now, the thing didn't leave, so let me just enjoy my money. That's the wrong way to hold on. You are holding on to deal with that thing that is angry is something that God needs to deal with. Once it is dealt with, then you can now give. Some of you, God laid something in your heart. At a season, a door was open in the spirit realm. And God said, sow this to me. Then you waited till that thing lived. See, one of the ways I deal with that is that the moment God speaks, I call my wife. Because if I don't do it, she will follow me up. That, you know, God has said this. A woman will always ask you, a good woman will always ask you, are we not doing that again? What about the covenant? What about what God said? A wrong woman will be sad. Will even be praying that you forget. And there are wrong men too. There are women who are more generous than the men they have married. When you want to give any seed in church, the guy will be asking, is that not the money I gave you? Is it part of it you want to give now? You are alive to give her because God kept you alive. If you die today, God will take you over. There are men that are the reason why their family is not prospering.
The wife will check everything. How much are you giving aside? Eh? So we are giving sacrificial giving. Two of us cannot be giving sacrificial giving. When one give, another one stay. Okay? So that there can be balance. That's Ananias that is alive. Two of us cannot be giving. And the women have been intimidated. The wife knows better, but the guy is a novice. He doesn't know anything. So you wonder why everything about the family is reflecting human effort. There is nothing here reflecting something beyond what a man can work for. If your life reflects purely human effort, that's hard life. Because that's the life of Adam. From the sweat of your face, you will eat. It's a wrong life. It's a wrong life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Huh? There are men who tell their wife, your tithe is not to the church, I'm your head. Sow it to me. Oh yes. There are men who tell their wife, your first food is not to church. I'm your head. Give me. There are wrong people. There are wrong people around. I'm telling you, these are cases we've seen. Men who look into their wife's purse, check the account. Say, I check your account balance. The money has reduced. What do you do? What do you do? You give this church. Oh, God, calm down. Don't be a Nabal. The person who is giving in the family is the one who is opening the windows of heaven. Don't shut that person down. That's the person keeping the door open. And it is very important when the two people can learn to keep it open. Can learn that. Very important. Not that one is raising it up, the other is pulling it down. Do you understand what I'm teaching you? Generosity doesn't kill anyone. It is the lack of it that kills. There are men that are like that too. Poor priests in their homes. Petty. They were raised like women. Raised petty. And even Ada is a wrong woman that thing. Raised to be very petty. They are petty about everything. Say, you want to go extra mile? Say, no. That's not very shaky, like boys, like babies. Like babies. They are mature babies with beards. Unfortunately, has married a good person. And there are women like that. Always checking. You know, I went to visit a family one Christmas. And as we were preparing Christmas food, before the Christmas food was ready, the woman has fought with everybody. I just said, this woman deserves to live alone. This family does not deserve anybody coming to for this contentiousness. The Bible says it is better to live in the corner of a house than to stay with a contentious woman. Always angry. Can't see anybody around. Now that they have come, how many men are they staying? When are they leaving? If Abraham was like that, Sarah would be barren. She would die barren. Abraham already had Ishmael. Forget it. The one who is like that is one who will have nothing to his name. You may keep saying that Ishmael is not legitimate, but somehow in the corner of Abraham's heart, he will say at least. Don't be wearing well doing by doing so. Some have entertained angels unaware. And I was asking those in the house, in the entire scripture, one woman was referred to as great. The Shunammite woman. She saw a man of God. She said, I perceive that he's a man of God. Can we make room? Let me tell you this. One of the reasons why I don't visit people is because I've seen contentiousness. Because sometimes you see some pastor's wives and you wonder, who raised this one? And that's why you must be glad that God has set you here. Except you are not learning. You will learn graciousness. You will learn hospitality. Hospitality. That there is a way to take care of people in a way that they feel cared for. They feel loved. If you are a guy and the person you like is in the church system and you are trying to cut the person off, don't go too far. You are the one that will suffer it. When we train them, who do I train them for? You are the one that will suffer it. I'm telling you.
to learn how to be generous, how to give, how to cater. The woman said, I perceive that he's a man of God. Can we take care of him? Are there people who still think like that? Can we take care of this person? I've seen families that they will hide chicken on Christmas Day. Little wonder they are poor. I've seen things. One time I was served eba, okra and egg. Up until that moment, I'd never seen it before. I didn't even know the combination was possible. Many things are possible around contentious people. They will hide meat till the meat begins to stink. Then they will now begin to bring it out. Contentiousness, greed, stinginess, stingy, very stingy. Take no thought for tomorrow. That people who don't know how to share until that thing is spoiled. They are not gracious. That's why their life is very hard. They are not gracious. Many believers are like that. I never had to tell my wife twice when God is demanding for a sacrifice. Hey, babe, consider this thing gone. Oh, okay. We move. Do we feel it? Yes. A lot. Some of those things will make you quite vulnerable. And God, I'm ready for more. You have to practice it. The way people practice to gym. Practice giving. No pain, no gain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Practice giving. And if you are a man or you are a woman, carry your spouse along. So this person will not make you poor. Carry them along. Practice it. Carry your home along. Teach your children. Put money in their hands. Watch them give it as offering. Tell them, go and give it. And from that young age, let them know it's not the smallest, is it nominations now that you give? Yes. Don't go and give them 5 naira. There's nothing in Nigeria now that you can buy 5 naira. I don't know if it exists. But some people have it for their children. Are you seeing the culture they are giving them? That when it's God, you give him the least. See, one time, around year 2000 or 99, we were attending a CNS church. Alright? So, there's this man that is a member of the church, but he was the commissioner of police then. Can't remember whether for Lagos State. So, he comes around every harvest season. He comes with his son. Myself, when it's time to give offering, the church use this bowl, this aluminum bowl, as offering. So, whenever myself and my brother goes to give offering, the entire church will know. Because once we drop our offering, you hear, wow, coins. And for the first time, I saw this commissioner's son brought money out. My age mate. And was going to give us offering. I paused him. What he was going to do? He said, that's his offering. I said, give me out of it. I got out of it and put it in my pocket. And I go back home, I was showing the rest. Why was I doing that? Because we were poor. Simple. We were broke. Mindset. Don't be petty. Be a generous person. Be generous. Oh, they want to have something to do for one of your leaders. The one who is not generous there will spoil it. And say, is that not too much? Does it sound like Judas? Is that not too much? Can people really do this? The one who says that people will be angry is the one who is angry. The one who says people will be offended is the one who is offended. He is speaking because he knows who he is. He is not speaking for anyone. That is who he is. He provokes. You know, broken English. They provoke. They vex. Sometimes giving is not just what you have. You have to go extra mile to get it. If we can go extra mile to get our needs met, we can go extra mile for the things of God. Generosity. See, the generous one is not the one who has the most. It's the one whose heart has been touched. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. is the generous one, is not the one. So we don't treat people bad because you feel this fellow is giving. So he has no. This fellow only has a heart for God. That's why the fellow is giving. This fellow only has a heart for God. One of my friends was going to get married. And I had to, you know, push myself. It was a season where things were, you know, were not too funny. We had a major crisis trying to gather money together. But I told him, I said, see, I'm going to buy your suit. I'm going to do this and all that. But I said to him, I said, I'm not the only one in your circle of friends. We have other friends. Let's teach these guys to give. And he said a statement that made me quite afraid. He said, you know, amongst us, you are the only one that has. I said, no, come on. I'm only giving because I have a heart to give. You see, I remember when I was going to get married, one of those guys, very stingy. Sometimes they look wise. Everybody is in the house. They will give something. The one who will go and pocket it, watch that person. It doesn't matter what the person has. The person is going to be needy soon. I shared the story with you of one guy like that. He will keep money and watch all of us spend the night, no food. And he had money. One time I was sweeping the house and saw the bag under my bookshelf and I saw money inside. But I went to go and buy meat. Bought some rice. Made the rice, cooked the meat, gave him 2 meat. We were eating one. He said, this food is nice. I said, correct. And we kept spending his money for over a month. The money was so much, he wasn't counting. He would just go there and pick. The money was so much. One time I met him at night, going to the house. He was eating suya and potato. He put the thing in his pocket as a man. Who does that? Who does that keep suya in the pocket? Full grown man with beards as a babe. All right, are you following what I'm saying here? Be generous. It won't kill you. We practice it. We see kingdom duties as, see, a generous person is actually trusting God for more lifting so the work can advance. The fact that God shifted you and your giving didn't shift is a proof that your heart wasn't right. You were only broke. That's why you cried. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Say, oh, God gives this. Who do you have among your friends? Is there anyone alive now that is sure that if they knock your door for giving, you will give? So I was going to share a story about that boy. Very, very stingy. He was the one that I've been fasting, dry fasting. I will go to the place I'm going to go and pray. I'm not selling food. He covered the stove and the stew with duvet. I have never seen it in my life. I just said, strange! Yeah, pizza. Strange. Why? He didn't want to share. The people that you were sharing rice and beans with, they are the ones sharing millions today. And that track record will always be there. Will always be there. One who is stingy forgets tomorrow. He thinks everything revolves around today. There is a tomorrow. He covered it with duvet. So I was going to get married. And the same guy came say, you know, I would have loved to, you know, these clothes we are buying to be among the men in so. I don't have the money. I just said, you have still not lent. Send me your account number. The one we spend the money to get, I send the account number, send money for the clothes, send money for the tailor, and he still requested for transport to come. He cannot bear to let anything from him, you know, be a part of anything. His own money is planned. And I just had to send that, just for, have you still not learned that those of us who are giving keep rising? Have you still not learned it? That's why I sent the money. You've not learned. When will it occur to you that we are not going down for giving? When? We go extra mile to give. That's generosity. We go over and beyond ourselves. We feel it. But we do because we love God. Because there's some junks on social media and there's no reward to giving. When you give, you have, what are you talking about? This is our grace message. You see, I teach grace. I believe so much in grace. Amen. I'm a new man in Christ. But you see, we must not remove the supernatural and leave the letters. We must not. Praise God. Anytime you want to give offering, practice giving. Do you know that? Tithe? Anytime I don't know my tithe, maybe something I can't calculate what came in, everything, and anytime I don't give, I give something that I know is more than. Yes. For the sake of my heart. I give something that I know is more than. Now let me wrap up with this. I've shown you this before when I talked about Cain and Abel. What was special about Abel? There was specification. He gave specifically the firstlings. Every year, people talk against giving first fruit. Even if first fruit is not doctrinal, as far as it is given to God, God honors it. God. See, there is no form of giving to God generously that you can do wrong. All this, oh, is starting new generation is because we don't have bowels of generosity. There are many amongst us who no longer give tithe. They struggle. How much? You earn 100K. Give 10,000 as tithe. This tithe thing is difficult. It's difficult because your heart is after the rest, not after what. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you should actually be living in a way that your heart has been mortified towards the path that goes to God. If I give you 300,000, how much is the tithe? Just 30,000 naira. Why is that one your problem? And you forget that you have 270,000. If you have 1,000,000, the tithe is 100,000. But you still have 900,000. But is this 100,000 that is your problem? It's not money problem, it's love problem. Because we are not generous. I call her our member and family. She joins the service online. There's barely a Sunday she doesn't join the service. I know she said something. She said, I was talking with her. I went to Lagos one time. And I just said, let me even chat her up because it's been a while. And she said, can I change your mic? She's online. She's the one who noticed that this mic is fading. When will you begin to give beyond offering and tithe? Many of you just believe, once I've done that, I've done my own part. You are not done. The church is family. Once there's a need, sow a seed. That's the way we live. You go to any church. Oh, there's no TV here. Okay. Yeah, I'm buying. Who is joining me? It must be a lifestyle. See, when you learn these things, you will be very, very wealthy. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. Because you will not discover that there's actually a force of prosperity. It is beyond work. Sir. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, sometimes when I get testimonies of what our messages is doing to people across territories, when I look at the way people are glued, you know, the messages from here are very addicting. Somebody sent me a message from one country, said my sister was not serious with God. Now she has listened to several of your messages. Her stretch, just listening. You see, it's not the way I talk. There's a force that makes that happen. There's a compelling power that makes that happen. That people see light. My God. When your life reflects just human effort, you are hardened. It must reflect grace. Lift your hand. Say, God, help me to be gracious. Pray it as a prayer. Help me to be gracious. To be more gracious. To give to you. To support your work. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. So, Father, I want to give you praise and I want to thank you for all your children. And I decree, God bless your heart. He opens your eyes to key into covenant beyond you. You will not lack both seed and bread in the name of Jesus. It is done. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.